airchecks.com.
Halloween, the night he came home. From Compass International Pictures, rated R.
Jay, it's your turn.
Now playing at a flagship theater near you, we dare you to see it. 99X FM, high today 59, no rain, now it's close to 40 at all about 23 minutes after 8. Charlie.
Yes, sir.
What do you have planned for tomorrow night, which is Halloween?
Oh, I think I'll probably just answer the doorbell and beat up little kids.
Well, you see that, folks, is just another friendly way of here, 99X, of saying happy Halloween to all of you out there. What I plan on doing is getting a bag. This is an old trick. You get a bag of fresh dog poo-poo.
Yes.
You put it on someone's doorstep and you light it.
Yes.
And then they run out and they put it out.
Hey, like
don't do that. So that's the kind of tricks I have. No, I'm gonna go dressed as a turkey, and that's what I have planned
that's
tomorrow night. We'll have a report on the famous needle bomb Halloween coming up also
shortly.
I don't know. Shortly, as soon as we write something.
Okay.
All right, good.
38 degrees in the city, 825, heading for a high of 59 under sunny skies. Good morning, everybody. Charlie Steiner, 99X, and as per usual for Monday morning, we have a busy day coming into town. MTA reporting scattered 10-minute delays on the M and D trains from Coney Island. Conrail reporting the 707 due into the city at 20 to 9, 10 minutes behind schedule. Long Island Railroad reporting half-hour delays on the Babylon branch coming into town. Out on the roads, West Side Highway, heavy southbound from 79th down to 56th Street. The Triborough Bridge, heavy through the Manhattan Toll Plaza. Queens Boulevard moving better this morning to the 59th Street Bridge than Northern Boulevard is. Long Island Expressway and Grand Central are both very heavy coming into town. Upper level of the 59th Street Bridge moving better than the lower level. Lincoln Tunnel is very heavy coming into town. Turnpike extension in Jersey is the best approach to the Holland Tunnel just now. A poll is out this morning that would seem to favor Hugh Carey, who is making his typical come-from-behind performance. Here is Mark Mitchell in Westchester.
More than half of New York's registered voters in the latest season-wide poll regard the tax issue as the key to this year's race for governor. New Rochelle pollster Roger Seasonwine says 53% of those questions say taxes are first on their minds, while only 25% of them regard crime as the more important issue. And related to that crime issue, only 15% of those responding favored the restoration of the state's death penalty. Of the majority regarding the tax matter as number one, 53% of them favor incumbent Democrat Hugh Carey, and 37% favor Republican challenger Perry Duryea.
Okay, Mark Mitchell in Westchester. Hopes of settling the 83-day-old newspaper strike during the current round of negotiations were dashed early today when the recess of a negotiating subcommittee discussing job security at the Daily News plant in Queens took place. However, negotiators for the striking printing pressmen and for the Times and the Daily News continued talks early this morning in hopes the strike could be settled sometime this week. Well, flash flood, 99X's impeccable weather prognosticator may soon be out of business. Yes, a victim of a computer. This one.
Miami, Monday, sunny, high 84.
What you just heard wasn't your average weather forecast or weather forecaster. But according to Richard Frank, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administrator, if you understood it, you might have to get used to it. The it voicing the weather prediction is a computer being tested in the Washington area. And if enough people seem to understand the forecast, the computerized predictions could become the weather wave of the future. The National Weather Service says the system, once it operates on a nationwide basis, will be faster in disseminating forecast and warnings during an emergency situation. The system is based on a method which reduces speech waveform to digital form and then generates a voice using previously stored vocabulary. Barb Reporter, Washington.
Sports and weather and another segment of our disco series coming up next. Next.
Boy, I went to a party Saturday and everybody drove a Celica GT.
Just ask for it, you'll get it, Toyota.
How about those New York Rangers? First nine games they've played this season, they've lost only one. Last night, they were 3-2 winners at the Garden over the Penguins. Goals by Greschner, Hickey, and Plante. Rangers lead the league in defense. Vancouver 5-2 over Philadelphia. Chicago beat Montreal. You heard right, 4-1. Okay, NBA, Golden State, Denver, Los Angeles, and San Diego were the winners. NFL, let's check the scores again. Cleveland 41-20 over Buffalo. Cincinnati 28-13 over Houston. Pittsburgh 27-24 over Kansas City. Patriots mauled the Jets 55-21. Cardinals under Bud Wilkinson, their first win 16-10 over Philadelphia. Redskins 38-20 over the 49ers. Lions 21-17 over the Bears. Saints 28-17 over the Giants. Packers 9-7 over Tampa Bay. Miami 26-8 past Baltimore. Denver in overtime 20-17 over Seattle. And San Diego beat Oakland 27-23. 99X weather. Sunny, cool today. High 59. Clear tonight. Low 45. Sunny, mild tomorrow. High 65. In the city now, it's 38 degrees. The news, a presentation of Toyota. Charlie Steiner, 99X FM. And finally in the news this morning, dancing and music are probably the two biggest reasons why discotheques have grown by such monumental proportions in the last couple of years. And those are the aspects Bob Slade is looking at now in this segment three of his 20-part series on the phenomena of discotheques.
The phenomenon of discos is nothing new. Discos, or discotheques, first appeared back in the mid-60s. If you were to venture onto the dance floor in those days, the pulsating beat of the music would guide your feet to such popular movements as the Monkey, the Frug, and the Funky Chicken. Well, those dances have been replaced in 1978 by such sophisticated steps as the Hustle, the Bus Stop, and the Freak. Just as the dance steps have changed, so has the disco dance halls themselves. It's generally agreed that they have evolved from dance houses into genuine show places, complete with flashing lights, lasers, and other assorted special effects. One witness to this change is Raul Rodriguez, disco disc jockey at Manhattan's Elegant, New York, New York.
When I started going to discos, that was maybe the late 60s. It was a joke. I used to play Rolling Stones. I remember listening to one with the zipper, the album with the zipper on it.
Yeah.
I remember listening to Brown Sugar and discos. I mean, and it just, I think it's, you know, matured and has gotten very involved, you know. A disco would never be anything like this. It was somebody's basement, you know. And they put on a stereo and that was a disco.
The stereo in the basement discos have been replaced by investments that run into the millions of dollars. That'll be the subject of our next report. Bob Slade, 99X.
FM and to the roof magnetically, and 1440 Broadway is flash flood. Wait a minute, I can't hear you.
Oh, there we go.
What did you do?
I had a switch thrown the wrong way.
You threw the jalapeno switch the wrong way?
And nothing came across. Isn't that awful?
Well, that's embarrassing.
Well, I did not major in electronics. I don't know, you know.
Well, that's obvious. You didn't have the switch thrown the wrong way. Well, that's okay. We understand these problems sometimes. What does the radar say up there?
Nothing showing this morning. Clear skies, no rain anywhere within...
No enemy airplanes or anything? Or?
No, there seems to be a Russian trawler.
A Russian trawler.
About 100 miles south of Montauk Point out there getting some whiting or something. But otherwise, we're in good shape. Our shores are safe this morning, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to work and expect most of what you leave at home to be there when you get home again.
You know, that isn't a joke. They're probably out there, the Russians, listening to us.
Oh, yeah, trawlers, submarines, all kinds of things. Hopefully, our guys know where they are.
And you, of course, told us last week you're a major in the United States Air Force.
In the reserves, yeah. I'm not on active duty, obviously, or I wouldn't be here.
Well, if something happened, though, you'd be ready to jump into your jet and fly out there and kill them, wouldn't you?
Just drop bombs all over.
Just drop any time they steal our whiting, they deserve to die.
Anyway, the good weather we had over the weekend will continue, happy to say, for two, three more days. Still cool today and breezy, too. Northeast winds, 10, 20 miles per hour. Temperatures into the upper 50s. We should reach the mid-60s tomorrow and again on Wednesday before we cool off again. There's a hurricane, by the way, Jay, out in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
This one's east of Florida, about 400 miles, but it very likely will stay out to sea. We'll watch it.
That's very late for a hurricane.
It is. We're getting past...
I know all about hurricane season. I lived through a bunch of them down in Louisiana and Florida.
Well, we've had a bunch up here, though, none recently. Maybe we'll get one for you sometime.
Don't try and outdo me with one of your weather stories.
Well, I remember all kinds of hurricanes and days off from school and no power, all kinds of tremendous...
The good old days.
Yeah.
Now it's 39 at 99X. 0400 for more information, and I want to thank all the folks that came out to see me again, and I really appreciate that sort of physical support. Okay? What do you think of that, Charlie? Kind of nice for you to do, wasn't it? It's 8 minutes before 9 o'clock here at 99X, and here he is, Mr. Disco Fever himself, Charlie Steiner.
38 degrees in the city. We are anticipating a high temperature reading of 59. It's going to be a sunny day, and good morning, everybody. Charlie Steiner, 99X. As is per usual for Monday, a very busy day coming into town. Long Island Railroad reporting half-hour delays at least on the inbound Babylon branch trains. The MTA is reporting 10-minute delays on the Manhattan-bound D and M trains. Switch troubles. Out on the roads, of Long Island Expressway and Grand Central Parkway, both very heavy inbound. Whitestone Bridge, Throgs Neck, both heavy northbound. Southbound West Side Highway, bumper to bumper from 79th down to 56th Street. The 79th Street exit is congested as well, so you might want to get off at 96th and hope for the best on the local roads downtown. Lincoln and Holland Tunnels, both heavy inbound. Turnpike Extension is the best approach to the Holland Tunnel. George Washington Bridge is heavy. There's a stalled truck on the second to the left lane on the inbound upper level. Squeeze to the right, George Washington Bridge, upper level. The Triborough Bridge is heavy through the Manhattan Toll Plaza and the Bronx Toll Plaza as well. The Executive Board of the Levittown United Teachers Association has approved the tentative four-year contract worked out early this morning and is now taking the contract to the rank and file Levittown teachers for their vote. The teachers are meeting at this hour at the auditorium of MacArthur High School in Levittown. The Union Executive Board is recommending approval by the board. The Levittown Junior and Senior High Schools are scheduled to open this morning at 10, elementary schools at 11, and in fact there may be a bonus today. The teachers may be in the classroom. Hopes of settling the 83-day-old New York City newspaper strike and an all-night negotiating session were dashed early today when a subcommittee discussing job security at a Daily News printing plant in Queens recessed its meeting. That word comes from participants on both sides. However, negotiators for the striking pressmen and the city's two big morning papers, The Times and Daily News, continued a marathon meeting. Their session began at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon and is continuing at this hour. President Carter's inflation fighter says there may be instances where the spiraling economy could conceivably not be the nation's top priority. Mark Smith, Washington.
Though fighting inflation is now the administration's announced top priority, President Carter's top advisor on the subject says there are circumstances under which other national goals must take precedence. Appearing on ABC's Issues and Answers yesterday, Alfred Kahn was asked if he would still recommend Carter's tax on crude oil, designed to reduce dependence on foreign oil by boosting its price. Kahn said he wasn't sure, but he was sure the measure's impact on inflation would not be the only consideration.
The cure of inflation is not an idiot application of a policy of reduce all prices all over the place, regardless of whether it makes sense. There are places we have other values. One is conservation of our energy resources, which are limited. Another is reducing our dependence upon imports.
When a questioner said to Kahn the consensus was the crude oil tax would fuel inflation, Kahn responded, "I'm sorry, but that can't be helped." Mark Smith, Washington.
All right, we've got the sports and the weather and another segment in our disco series coming up next. It is now 8:57 at 99X.
What is it?
The hash brown patty.
Hash brown.
Some people don't know McDonald's hash brown when they see it.
Your breakfast major.
Eggs scrambled fresh.
Fresh scrambled eggs. Check.
Sausage, pork.
Pure pork sausage. Check.
Muffin English. Toasted.
Toasted English muffin.
And
check.
A funny looking crispy thing.
Hash brown.
Perfect.
Your check, major.
A major breakfast.
But even though a McDonald's hash brown may look a little funny, it certainly tastes good.
How did you do that?
Do what, man?
Stick all my little hash browns into one cute little patty.
Oh, well.
It must take hours and hours.
A unique, funny looking shape you can eat with your fingers.
Larry, don't eat with your fingers.
But the man with the deep voice, he said I could.
Our crispy pork and hash browns are a little funny looking. But one thing sure they do go great with whatever we got cooking.
They are funny looking.
But they're delicious.
Well, I didn't ask delicious. I figured they were delicious.
Okay.
This is McDonald's.
Yes.
I'll have some.
Okay.
I'll have some.
Get ready to smile.
McDonald's hash browns. Crisp and golden on the outside, tender on the inside.
Just like our world famous fries.
Mm, still funny.
Served only at breakfast.
The New York Rangers knocked off the Pittsburgh Penguins last night, 3-2 at the Garden, and in their first nine games, the Broadway Blue Shirts have lost only one, 1-5, and tied 3. And what a weekend it was, beating the Canadiens in Montreal at the Forum, 2-1 on Saturday night, and then last night's win behind the league's leading netminding of John Davidson and goals by Pat Hickey, Ron Greschner, and Pierre Plante. Goalie Davidson with this succinct appraisal of the Rangers' early season play.
We're just playing a mentally stronger game than we ever did.
dumping the puck out, taking the body, picking up our own checks, covering the points is a combination of things, and it's all working out.
Indeed it is, with a record of 5-1-3. Elsewhere in the National Hockey League, two games last night, Vancouver's first win over the Philadelphia Flyers in 4 years, 5-2, and it was the Blackhawks upsetting Montreal 4-1. NBA winners, Golden State, Denver, Los Angeles, and San Diego. San Diego's win over the Supersonics of Seattle was Seattle's first loss of the season. In the NFL, running down the scores again, Cleveland 41-20 over Buffalo, Cincinnati 28-13 over Houston, Pittsburgh 27-24 over Kansas City, Patriots balled the Jets, as you know, 55-21, Cardinals 16-10 over Philadelphia, Redskins 38-20 over San Francisco, Denver in overtime beat Seattle 20-17, Detroit 21, Chicago 17, it was New Orleans 28, the Giants 17, Green Bay 9-7 over Tampa Bay, Miami 26, Baltimore 8, San Diego 27-23 over Oakland. WXLO New York, weather sunny, cool today, high 59, clear tonight, low 45. Partly sunny, mild tomorrow, high 65. In the city now, 38 degrees. Charlie Steiner, 99XFM, finally in the news this morning. So you want to be another Steve Rubell and own a major discotheque here in the city or elsewhere? Well, in segment four of Bob Slade's in-depth look at the disco phenomenon, a 20-part series to be running through this week. Business, we find, comes long before pleasure for the owners, and staying alive seems to be most important.
Here's a question for you. Just how profitable would it be for you or I to enter into the discotheque business? I mean, actually open up a disco and say, we'll call it Studio 99X. Would we make money? We could lose every dime. First, let's consider this. In the United States alone, discotheques number somewhere in the area of 10,000. Last year, almost 40 million people ventured onto the dance floors of these places. Those numbers alone indicate that revenues totaled into billions of dollars. That sounds like a solid investment, and according to Record World Magazine's Vince Cilletti, our chances of making money here in New York are pretty good.
Something starting out with its own crowd. All they need to do is get a good sound system, a good light system, give away some free juice and cookies. And that's, once the initial investment is made, they're waking it up.
But what happens if we open our club and disco is no longer the in thing? Maurice Brahms, owner of the popular New York Disco here in Manhattan, says that's a chance investors are willing to take.
Everybody in the industry that's coming into it now is gambling and hasn't reached its peak. I myself think it used to be a point where you could put a few dollars, relatively speaking, into a club, make the money back very, very quickly, and have very little competition. Now clubs are opening up as a $1 million investment. It no longer is a sure thing. It now becomes a gamble.
Right, 4th Avenue and 11th Street, I guess right. 99X at about 8 before 10 o'clock. Who is in the Miracle News booth?
It is me, Bob Slade.
Well, Bob, were you the guy responsible for putting together the disco show?
Yes, I had some help, too. John Cohen and our engineer, Joe Hoffman.
Now, none of you are disco people and dancing people, so I tell you what I'm going to do. You know, the amazing Needlebaum and I are going to Studio 54 tonight, and we're going to take a tape recorder with us, and I'm going to have my own report tomorrow morning.
See,
we dance, and we go to these places. I think we're going to show you a whole different, you know, kind of a whole different look on this.
I can't wait.
And I think it would behoove the entire news department to be tuned in tomorrow morning for the J. Thomas Amazing Needlebaum Disco Report live, absolutely live and on tape, from Studio 54.
Okay.
So I just didn't want to.
I'm waiting with bated breath. Can't wait.
You know, your breath does smell like fish. And we've been wanting to tell you, you know, leaving scope everywhere. Haven't you noticed?
No.
It's the scope with the fish on it. For those of you with bated breath, I'm sorry, Bob.
Thank you very much. Nice guy.
Now you can go.
Okay, thank you. I'm ready. 41 degrees in the city at 9:54. We're heading for a high of 59.
I tell you, he mesmerizes even the newsmen. The man's amazing.
Sunny skies. Good morning. I'm Bob Slade, 99X. Teacher strike in Levittown, Long Island. It's over.
Within the hour, the rank and file voted overwhelmingly in favor of a new four-year contract, thus ending one of the longest teacher strikes in the state of New York. Hempstead Town Presiding Supervisor Alphonse D'Amato.
Thank God this strike will be ended. I think that everyone will take great comfort. The school board, the teachers, most of all the parents and the children when this is ended.
Levittown Junior and Senior High Schools will open at 10 o'clock this morning. The elementary schools will open at 11. The Levittown teachers have been on strike since September 6th, the first day of school. A new contract was reached last night after a long, long negotiating session. Good news for Copaig, Long Island. Teacher strike there was averted today when a new contract was reached and approved by the teachers this morning. The Copaig teachers had threatened to walk out today. Negotiators for the striking pressmen and the city of New York's two biggest morning newspapers met through tonight. They're still trying to settle the 83-day newspaper strike. A mediator said attorneys representing the New York Times and the Daily News and the Pressmen's Union are already working on specific contract language, but prospects for an immediate settlement were set back when a subcommittee discussing job security at one of the Daily News printing plant buildings recessed its meeting. A number of tasks remain before the two papers can appear on the newsstands again. These include winning rank-and-file ratification of a tentative agreement between the publishers and the Pressmen's Union. Federal judge in Newark, New Jersey today will sentence two Soviet citizens convicted of spying on the United States. The men face a maximum term of life in prison for conspiring to pass American defense secrets onto the Kremlin. Big doings at the Bowling Green stop on Lexington Avenue IRT at noon today as Mayor Koch, Governor Kerry, MCA Chairman Harold Fisher, and others take part in ceremonies marking the 75th birthday of the first New York City subway. Happy birthday, Subway. And heading into the final week of campaigning in the gubernatorial election, Hugh Carey is ahead of Perry Duryea, at least according to one poll. And we get more on that story from Mark Mitchell.
More than half of New York's registered voters in the latest season-wide poll regard the tax issue as the key to this year's race for governor. New Rochelle pollster Roger Seasonwine says 53% of those questions say taxes are first on their minds, while only 25% of them regard crime as the more important issue. And related to that crime issue, only 15% of those responding favor the restoration of the state's death penalty. Of the majority regarding the tax matter as number one, 53% of them favor incumbent Democrat Hugh Carey, and 37% favor Republican challenger Perry Duryea.
Correspondent Mark Mitchell. We'll have all the sports and the weather next.
Liability.
Service. Election.
No gimmicks.
And straight talk.
That's what everyone seems to be saying about Mid-County Buick and Dodge. Empire Boulevard in Brooklyn, just east of the famous Brooklyn Botanical Garden. Every day, someone finds a good reason to buy a new car at Mid-County Buick and Dodge, Empire Boulevard in Brooklyn.
Well, the Jets traveled up to Foxborough, Massachusetts yesterday and got bombed by the New England Patriots. The final score of that game, 55-21. It's an embarrassment. The Giants also came out on the short end. They lost to the New Orleans Saints, 28-17. The Rangers were the only New York pro team to come out on top yesterday. Rangers nipping the Pittsburgh Penguins, 3-2. On tonight's pro sports schedule, only one contest. And that's in the NFL, the Monday night game of the week. Los Angeles is at Atlanta, and it's at 9 o'clock. 99X weather, sunny and cool today, going up to 59. It'll be clear tonight, low around 45, and then partly sunny and mild tomorrow, high 65. In the city right now, 41 degrees. I'm Bob Slabe, 99X FM.
The Suns, 120. The New York Knicks, 108. We did pretty good last night because the Knicks had 5 men in double figures. Unfortunately, they couldn't win the game. Lakers over the Nuggets, 134-107. The Jazz.
Yeah. Hello, Dolly. This is Louis.
I'm sorry. The Jazz, 97. Chicago Bulls, 92. Islanders, 8. Rockies, 5. And tonight, the Bucks and the Nets do some battle.
Paramount Pictures presents a new ad production, Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke. This picture is no one under 17 admitted without a parent.
No one admitted all smoked up. And it says starts Friday at a theater near you, but that's playing all over, isn't it? Let's say it's now playing at a theater near you, or maybe it starts out in the boondocks on Friday. It's 9 before 7 here at 99X, and Charlie Steiner's in the boss bucket.
That is true.
Making a buck and a quarter, couldn't like it better.
Well, I don't know about that. What are those old rock and roll lines?
Yeah, let's take a cobweb walk down the memory lane. You ever hear those? Remember those? And go into the Golden Groove Yard and play a hit from way back when and Stacks of Wax. And I used to use all those things. And I used to call myself Superman, but I'm all hit lines, and I'll play it for you at 5:27. All that stuff.
That's not bad.
I used to call myself the king of the city. Screaming, and yelling.
That's rather modest.
Yeah, I used to count a lot. I was the king of a lot of towns.
Were you?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Well,
I was the high priest of the hits in Pensacola, Florida.
Get down, my man.
Get down, high priest of the hits. Let's go now. I used to do all that. But then, you know, man, I got like mature, came to New York, and, you know, hey. I'm almost as boring as Dave Herman.
Super duper Superman.
That's another one. Super duper Superman. That's the one I used to do. So, well, were you ever a disc jockey anywhere?
Many, many moon ago. As a matter of fact, a little piece of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first progressive disc jockey in Peoria, Illinois.
Then what did you do?
The last.
Working the nude? Is that was they considered progressive?
No, that was back in 1967.
I almost went to a radio station in Peoria, but I went to prison instead for 2 years, and it was a better gig.
It's 50 degrees in the city. It's 6:53, heading for a high of 61. Going to be a sunny day today. Good morning, everybody. Charlie Steiner, 99X. Traffic and transit, by the way, everything is right on time. There is still no official announcement of a settlement in the 84-day-old newspaper strike. We were all led to believe that a tentative agreement would have been announced by dinner time last night, but we're told by 99X's John Cohen, who's been manning the talks for us all night long, that there are still some small issues to be finalized, but an announcement will be forthcoming at 8 o'clock this morning. We will keep you posted. President Carter's inflation plan doesn't fit the bill, according to the president of the AFL-CIO, George Meany, who supports mandatory wage and price controls. Meany claims voluntary controls simply aren't enough. The White House seems to disagree, as Charles Van Dyke reports.
The administration didn't wait long to respond to big labor's rejection of its new anti-inflation program. Just hours after AFL-CIO President George Meany called for mandatory economic controls instead of voluntary, Labor Secretary Ray Marshall was ready with a reply that Mr. Carter won't go with mandatory controls.
The historical record on wage and price controls is clear. They are not a long-term solution to inflation. And in the short term, they disrupt the normal functioning of the economy, lead to distortions and inefficiencies, as well as virtually destroying collective bargaining.
Marshall also criticized the timing of the Meany announcement, saying the AFL-CIO leadership condemned the program less than a week after it was launched without a fair test. Charles Van Dyke, Washington.
A federal judge reportedly has scheduled a secret hearing into government reports that underworld bigwig Carmine Galante is the target of a would-be prison assassin. Roy Cohn, Galante's lawyer, has charged that the reported death plot, which has led to Galante's isolation at the Danbury, Connecticut federal prison, is a trick to make his client look bad with parole officials. Cohn also suggested that the death threat may be a subterfuge to enable the government to transfer Galante to another prison out of the jurisdiction of the federal authorities in this area. Meantime, in Bridgeport, Connecticut, on Monday night, Judge T.F. Gilroy Daly ordered a secret hearing to be held tomorrow or Friday to determine the authenticity of the reported plot against Galante and other imprisoned crime figures. A sister and her half-brother pleaded guilty to a reduced kidnapping charge in last February's abduction of 11-year-old Marcy Klein, the daughter of noted fashion designer Calvin Klein. As part of their plea, 23-year-old Pauly Ramsey retracted her claim that she and Klein had been lovers and that he arranged the kidnapping for publicity reasons. Spokesman for Franklin General Hospital in Valley Stream, Long Island, say operations are continuing normally despite a strike by nurses' aides, orderlies, kitchen, and maintenance workers. Ron Guidry is the Cy Young Award winner. We'll take a look at that story, the sports, and the weather coming up next. It's now 6:56 at 99X.
A new stereo, get a color TV, get a car stereo, a CB, a Sony Betamax, a TV video game. Get it now, because Crazy Eddie can't be beat with prices so low he's practically giving it all away. Sony, Panasonic, Pioneer, Kenwood, RCA, Zenith, Crazy Eddie's got them all at the guaranteed lowest prices. Shop around. Get the best prices you can find. Then, go to Crazy Eddie, and Crazy Eddie will beat 'em. Five great locations. 6th Avenue in Manhattan, Fordham Road in the Bronx, Coney Island Avenue at Kings Highway in Brooklyn, Jericho Turnpike in Syosset, Route 17 in Paramus. Call 645-1196. Remember, Crazy Eddie guarantees you the largest selection, professional service centers, and the guaranteed lowest prices. So get a new stereo, get a color TV, get anything or everything in home entertainment. Get it now, because Crazy Eddie's prices are insane.
Ron Guidry, in only his second full season in the big leagues, was the unanimous winner of the American League Cy Young Award for 1978. It became official this morning. Guidry's extraordinary season, in which he had a record of 25-3 and earned run average a microscopic 1.74, was also highlighted by a league-leading 9 shutouts. In his hometown of Lafayette, Louisiana, Guidry said he doesn't fully appreciate the award now, but he will later in life.
It's a great honor, you know, to win it this year, but I think it'll mean more once I'm out of baseball. You know, when I reflect back into the past, I'll be able to say, if it the case arises that I never get it again, you know, that in 1978 I won the Cy Young Award, signifying I was the best pitcher.
And while there's joy in the Yankee camp this morning on the official announcement of Guidry's award, there is also tragedy to report. The Cinderella season of manager Bob Lemon has taken an unfortunate turn. His 26-year-old son, Jerry Lemon, dead of injuries, suffered in an automobile accident. On the scoreboard, NBA last night, the Knicks were 120-108 losers at Phoenix. Paul Westphal led the Suns with 35. Atlanta beat Washington 110-108, Indiana 119, the Cavaliers 114, Milwaukee 114, Kansas City 112. In overtime, Golden State 139, San Antonio 138, New Orleans beat Chicago 97-92, the Lakers 134, the Nuggets 107, Portland 112, Detroit 96. NHL, a couple of games, Islanders 8-5 win over Colorado, 2 goals, 3 assists for Bobby Bourne, a couple of goals for Mike Kosicki. The Islanders scored a half a dozen times in the final period, and Atlanta continuing to win, beat the Blues 5-2. WXLO New York weather, going to be sunny today, high 61, clear and cool tonight, low 45, sunny again tomorrow, high 62. In the city now, it's 50 degrees. A reminder, Bob Slade series on the disco phenomena here in the city coming up at 7:20. This is Charlie Steiner, 99 XFM. 99X's Bob Slade continues with his 20-part series on the disco phenomena here in the city. In segment 8 yesterday, Bob looked into the success formula of Studio 54. Now in segment 9, he looks at Steve Rubell's controversial policy of picking and choosing his clientele nightly.
Numerous occasions I've left the municipal parking lot on 8th Avenue and 54th Street at night and couldn't drive down the street. Reason? Hordes of people standing outside trying to get inside Studio 54. If I had my way, I'd let them all in just so I can get down the street. But club owner Steve Rubell stands outside and picks and chooses the people he wants in his disco. If you're a big star, your chances are good. But Rubell says not every celebrity makes it.
Nobody can say I discriminate just because people are celebrities. I mean, people like John Kennedy, Caroline Kennedy. I use them as quick examples. Caroline Kennedy happened last week. I turned away at the door. Caroline had on a baseball cap and a baseball Yankee jacket. And I couldn't recognize. She lost a lot of weight. And I didn't recognize.
And as for those who choose to withstand the rejection and wait and wait to enter Steve Rubell's Adult Disney World, well, 99X reporter John Cohen chatted with a couple of them.
How long you been waiting out here?
Too long.
An hour or so.
You think you get in?
I really couldn't care.
Why are you waiting?
Well, I'm waiting with him. Yeah, no, nice night, nothing better to do.
Nice night to hang out.
What do you expect once you get in?
I expect it to be a lot warmer in there than it is out here. That's one thing.
Steve Rubell says he hates the image he has created, and a lot of other club owners in the city aren't crazy about it either. We'll talk about that in my next report. Bob Slade, 99X.
On or close to schedule. Nice weather with flash flood coming up in a few minutes. I tell you, the rest of the week is going to be fantastic. I've been to, you know, we're doing this report. I've been to Studio 54, I think twice. Once an invited party, and then the other night I bought a ticket to get in there and stuff. I stayed a couple hours and split. Just absolutely isn't my style. But there are always people hanging around outside waiting to get in. And they always look like they're from Idaho. I don't quite understand that. I mean, let me tell you, if you've never been there, let me tell you what's inside. A bunch of weirdos jumping around, sweating, and dancing. And there is out-and-out smoking of marijuana. Let me put it to you this way, folks. I was horrified and loaded.
For Thanksgiving weekend entertaining.
99X FM. It's 41 degrees now at 9 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Thomas Show where from Chinatown to the Upper West Side to Little Italy.
Yes, yes.
We have the news for you. And now here he is, another ethnic man in his own right, formerly of the Malvern Mules, Charles Herbert Steiner.
41 degrees in the city at 6:52. We're anticipating a high temperature reading today of 53. Early morning rain giving way to partial clearing by afternoon. Good morning, everybody. Charlie Steiner, 99X. Traffic and transit. An accident just in northbound FDR Drive, 101st Street in that area. Squeeze to the left, they tell us, and the 528 from Spionk on the Long Island Railroad due into Jamaica 12 after 7 is 22 minutes behind schedule. Engine problems. A Newark, New Jersey budget crunch has forced the layoff of 441 city workers, including 200 cops on a force critics have charged with seriously undermanned already. Administration officials say the layoffs are due to the loss of more than $10 million in federal anti-recession aid. We can't even do the job right now, said Herbert Volkert, the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, which represents about 1,200 cops. It's the worst thing that's ever happened here. Volkert said the police roster is currently 185 men short of its 1,450-man complement. So they've got problems in Newark, and a hearing is slated today.
Brooklyn. 99X at 9 before 8 o'clock. Some happy birthdays this morning.
Oh, really?
When you were a kid, did you watch Father Knows Best?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, then later on, this young lady appeared in Lost in Space, and it's her birthday today. Who is it?
Who is it? I don't know.
You know, Charlie...
I'm not quick with the ad-libs on Monday.
You know, for quite a while there, you've been asking me questions, and I don't know them. You know what I mean?
Father knows best.
Huh? I've decided that, you're
going to embarrass the hell
enough.
Out of me is what
exactly.
You're going to do.
Angela Cartwright.
Of course.
26 years old.
She's 20. Oh, I bet she's nice now, too.
Well, she used to be chubby, remember?
Well, she was kind of cute by the time she got into Lost in Space. Now she's 26.
Okay. We got a little love affair going between you and Angela. Before the Jose Feliciano says he's 33. Don't believe him.
No.
Arnold Palmer, 49 years old. He looks pretty good for 49.
Yeah, he's doing well.
And, of course, guess who else's birthday it is today?
Old Chicken Stanley.
No. Not Chicken George. Colonel Harlan Sanders.
Colonel Sanders. He must be about 95.
No, he's 88.
Close.
Who didn't make his first $1 million till he was collecting Social Security, believe it or not. Like 60, 65 he was.
Well, I know quite a few people are making $1 million off Social Security now.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
No, he made it after collecting. That's a thing there. Okay.
Little political humor, right.
I see. Now it's your turn.
Okay, 65 degrees in the city at 753.
Wait a minute. What? I made a mistake.
So what else is new?
It wasn't. It wasn't Father Knows Best. Oh, no.
Well, what was it?
It was the Danny Thomas Show.
You are a dummy.
Who was that little fat chick that was in Father Knows
Lauren
Best?
Lauren Chapin.
Who? Lauren Chapin.
Yeah.
Now we got Slade in here, and he's embarrassing me. Will you get out of here? Now we got Ted Traffic. What do you want?
She was also in The Sound of Music.
Get out. Get the hell out of here, both of you. Are you kidding, The Sound of Music? Her voice was dubbed. I know that much.
The news department's ganging up on you this morning.
That's right. Danny Thomas is 53. His nose is 57.
65 degrees in the city is now 7:54. Keep it up. It'll be 20 after 8. Heading for a high of 76 under partly cloudy skies. We may see some rain later in the day. The news, a presentation of Toyota. Good morning, everybody. Angela Cartwright, 99X. Traffic and transit. Long Island Railroad reporting the 7-Eleven from Far Rock due into Penn Station at 8:03, 11 minutes behind schedule. Southbound West Side Highway bumper to bumper from the 120s down to 96th Street. Lincoln Tunnel moving better than the Holland this morning. Three-car accident on the upper level of the George Washington Bridge blocking the right lane at Midspan. Use the lower level of the GW this morning. The Harlem River Drive has an overturned tractor-trailer truck in the left lane just past the George Washington. Traffic may begin to back up onto the bridge soon because of that accident. One person has been killed, two injured this morning as a newspaper delivery van smashed into a truck carrying some limestone on the Major Deegan, southbound of the Bronx. The dead man and the two injured were in the van, which was carrying the News World Daily newspaper. All lanes of the Deegan, Interstate 87 southbound, closed near 230th Street because of the accident, which occurred about 20 minutes after 5 this morning. None of the victims identified as yet. It's getting to the point where something's got to give at those Camp David Summit talks. Walter Rogers covering the three-way talks.
There are indications the Camp David Summit may be approaching a showdown of sorts as it enters its sixth day.
But today, the presses remain cold. Bernard Gershon, New York.
And the New York Yankees are in a flat-footed tie for first place in the American League's Eastern Division. After staging an amazingly devastating sweep of the Boston Red Sox this weekend at Fenway Park, where the Sox haven't been swept by the Yankees in 35 years. Yesterday's final, 7-4. Some interesting stats to put the Yankees' amazing sweep into perspective.
Airchecks.com.